Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1. He says, "Oh, Timothy, be strong." Here it comes now. "In the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That's where you need to rest. Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, it's great to have you joining us today as Pastor Bill's study in the New Testament epistle of Ephesians continues. So let's join Pastor for the conclusion to the message, God's Great Love.
We were like the prodigal son, loved one. Do you understand? I mean, the filth of the world covered us. We lived in the filth of the world. We thought the filth of the world. We didn't know it, but we did. We had no clue. There we come out and we're so vile. We don't even have sandals on. We don't have the robe that we had on was so filthy. We needed to remove those filthy rags, amen? Because we have no righteousness of our own and receive the righteousness of Christ. Man, listen, even then, God loved us. He took us out of Adam and Adam's sin and Adam's death, you follow me? And put us over into Jesus Christ, into his everlasting life and his eternal, perfect, sinless, spotless righteousness. And he put that to your account. It says, who made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved. Made us alive. We are in union with the source of life. Amen? Jesus, what did he say in John 14:6? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. What did Paul the apostle say? He said, I've been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. Colossians 1:27. Oh, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Man, listen, we have the very life of God. That's why we can walk in a newness of life. But more than that, look at our position from death into life. Watch this in verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Those verbs, made us and all the rest of that there, you know, seated us, or literally in the Greek it would be, he has enthroned us. How do I even teach that? God, he made us alive, and then he made us, you, the church, the Christian, the believer. He made us sharers with Christ, not only in his dignity and his glory and his dominion. What did Jesus in his high priestly prayer say about glory? Father, the glory that you have given me before the world, but I give unto them. Remember that? Think about that. I mean, you talking about adventure when we get to heaven? Whoo, it's going to be something. Oh, listen, and I look at that and I say, you mean we, our position right now in the eyes of Almighty God, we sit where Christ sits and where he reigns? Yes, as far as God is concerned, you're seated with Christ right this very minute, spiritually. That is it's an accomplished fact. It's our position. What did the apostle of love say? In 1 John 4:17, he said this, as he is, as Jesus is, present tense, so are we in this world. Think about that. Not as Jesus was. As Jesus is right this minute, so are we right this minute in this world. That is your spiritual position in Christ Jesus right this very minute. And what was the purpose of God's great love? Look at verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I don't think there is a man on earth who can teach verse 7. I mean, we can teach it, but get it. You understand? You see, when we look at it again, that in the age, that's an eternity. In the ages to come, that God might do something, that he might show the unlimited, the overflowing, the exceeding riches of his unmerited favor in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The word, that phrase, he might show, literally means that he might display. Display in a, you could, for our own terms, say in a public manner. In other words, remember show and tell? Never mind. God's purpose is that he might show you and tell all about you. That the church of Jesus Christ, when we get to heaven, that we might glorify the incredible, exceeding riches of our Father's grace. Think about that. I mean, one day in eternity, you know what I mean? One day in eternity, God may say, Mark, come up here. Never mind, I'll use myself. I don't want you to, if I say something, you go, I don't, what do you say that about me? One day in eternity, God is going to call all the seraphims, all the cherubims, all the democratigims, and all, you know what I'm saying, all of those guys, whatever the M's are, all right? They're going to, we don't know what all God has created. I mean, trillions, billions, who, I don't know. But he's going to call them all together. And they're going to say, he's going to, and all of a sudden he was going to say, let me show you something. I want to display something. You see, Bill, what a loser. Do you know how many times he denied me? You know the things he did before he ever came to, how he, I remember how many times he ran for me when people would tell him about Jesus. What do you think about that, Bill? I don't know, Lord, you know. And he would say, I finally stopped him from running on a beach in Florida. Now let me tell you all about it. I don't understand all of that. I just know that each of you will be monuments to the incredible, exceeding richness of God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned, unconditional, divine favor called grace. And in heaven, you're going to be displayed, and you're going to glorify the Lord. But more than that, you think, oh, it's going to be all about me. No, no, no. Let me tell you where all the eyes, when we get there, are really going to be pointed to. They're going to be pointed with adoration toward the one who is seated at the right hand of God. And he is going to display the only sin marks in eternity. And that is going to be his hands. And he is the one who is going to be adored and worshiped and praised for all eternity. Amen. Because he's the one who did it all for you and me, and he did so willingly. Now, look at this in verse 8. You know this scripture so well, but it should be deeper than anything you could imagine. It says here about our salvation. Watch this now. For by the law, okay, no. Okay, I'm sorry. I missed. For by works, for by baptism. Yes, three times this way, three times that way. Oh, because I speak in other tongues, now I'm saved. No, 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 no. How about, okay, I heard a guy, I don't know if you heard this guy, I was just told about it today, and I'm not even going to say who it was because it doesn't matter, I love him. He said, if you have musical instruments in your church, well, that's not a sin. You play those musical instruments in church, you're not saved. He's got a lot of explaining to do when he gets to heaven. Where does this nonsense come from? You're not saved because for by weeping I'm saved. You might weep when you come to the Lord, but that, I ran to the altar. I didn't, so that didn't save you. Altars don't save people. Hearts save people, amen? Yes, it is for, look, how are we saved? We're saved because we're a Democrat or Republican? No, God, I don't know if they're going to be there. No, I'm joking. I'm teasing. This is so important. It says, for by grace you have been. That's past tense. You have been saved. Now listen, in the Greek, that's the aorist tense, which means in God's eyes, it's done. There's no more to add to it. You have been completely saved. Do you understand? Now we're in the process of sanctification, walking out our salvation. Amen? Okay, so for by grace, God's unmerited favor, you've been saved. How? Through faith. Now, faith is not the cause. Faith is the channel of one. Every person, Romans 12, 3 has been given the measure of faith, all right? So it's by not faith or through faith and not of yourselves. It's all God, okay, from start to finish. It is the what? The gift of God. Now listen, if I walked over here and said, Mark, here you go, buddy. And I don't even have my wallet, but if I did, that's why I never ring in church. I say, here's $100. It's a gift. She got it. Now, did you earn that? Did you work for that? Did you deserve that? You see the flesh, huh? No, listen, it is a gift. It's a gift. All you have to do to receive a gift is give it to me. I'll take it. It's free. It's a gift. Does that make sense? Oh, you know the scripture. I know you do, but it is a gift of God, not of works. The only work was the work on the cross by Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he says, oh, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Listen, salvation eliminates boasting. If a man is going to glory, let him glory in the Lord and only in the Lord. Amen. We have been saved. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone. And we are permanently, thank God, we have been saved. The grace of God. A great expositor of the Bible, his last name is Newell. He said this, there is no limit to God's favor. He meant grace there. God's grace toward those in Christ. No limit. Did you know in Romans 5:2, the Bible says that you stand forever, stand permanently 24/7 in the unmerited, undeserved, unconditional grace of the living God. Stay in what God saved you by. Amen. When Peter, the last epistle that he wrote, what did he say? He says, grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, grace gives us what we do not deserve. Now, what is God's great love? Never forget that it was not God's great love that saved you. Amen? Oh, that's so important. If God loves everybody, you know how it goes. No. Listen, what saved us? Let's back up. Yes, God always has loved us. Yes. But it was God's grace that saved us. You see, it was the cross that saved us. There had to be a death. Someone had to pay the penalty of the sin debt of the world. Amen? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, man, I say, oh, Lord, you mean it's a gift? Yes, listen, Romans 3:24, being justified. That word means declared innocent. It means to have the spotless, perfect record of Jesus imputed into your account. You're not going to face the judgment over your sin. You're going to go to the bema seat of Christ, but never the great white throne. He says, being justified, here it comes, freely. Freely, that means it didn't cost you a thing. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 4:5, but to him who does not work but just believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Listen, grace forgives those who don't deserve to be forgiven. Do you understand? I didn't deserve it. Oh, but I'm so thankful that I got it. Yes. You see, grace, it treats us now, God's grace, as if you had never sinned. That's because you're in the one who never sinned. Does that make sense? That's your position in Christ. Grace, loved one, made us a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. God's grace has seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is an accomplished fact, a divine fact from God's word. Paul told Timothy, he said this in 2 Timothy 2:1. He says, oh, Timothy, be strong. Here it comes now. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where you need to rest. Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. We live in a weak-kneed, sissified world that can be tossed to and fro, will believe anything and act upon anything. We're no longer part of that world, amen? You stand in the grace of God. That's what saved you, loved one. And now we say, as we look at the last verse, verse 10, what did God save us for? Or why did God make us alive in Christ? Here it comes. For we, every believer, the church of Jesus Christ, for we are his what? We're God's work, amen? We're his workmanship. As you know, I know you know this verse probably better than I do. We know that we get the word from this masterpiece or a great poem or whatnot. So we're God's work of art, if you will. His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, and look why, for good works. Now, we're not saved by works. We're saved for works, amen? Okay. Which God prepared when? Man, before you were ever born, these good works, not bad works, good works, all the way back in eternity. Why? That we should walk in them. Listen, works are vital, but never forget this. Works do not add one thing to your righteousness that's been imputed to you. Does that make sense? Nothing. I'm working my way. No, you can't work your way to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't be good enough to get to heaven because there's none good. God doesn't save good people because there's not any, okay? So works don't add anything to your righteousness, but what do works do? They prove something, don't they? Works are evidence that you have been justified, declared innocent in God's eye, that you are born from above. Works are proof that we have been made alive in Christ Jesus, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Amen? See, we are in him now. Oh, listen. It says that we should walk in them. This tells me something. Being made alive is not the end. Being made alive is the beginning of the adventure, serving the Lord, following the Lord. Oh man, traveling down the narrow road with our Lord. Man, listen to me. Good works. God has a plan. He has an eternal plan for you, all written out. Like I told the early service, I said, if we could go to heaven right now, and if we could see the plans that God, the good works that God had planned for all of us, in eternity, if we could see the list, it would blow us away. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to miss one of those plans? No. That means you have to step out in faith. Faith without works is? Why? Because faith makes works, or works make faith what? Visible. It proves your faith. Amen? When those guys in what was Mark chapter 2, and they were, you know, they're carrying that paralyzed person, and they tore all the off, I guess it was Peter's house. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. I'm glad it wasn't my home. Tore the whole roof off. Jesus was teaching inside. Remember, hit this guy down on a stretcher, dangling right in front of the Lord. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith. See, when you do your good works for God that he planned in eternity, then that's faith, loved one. You're stepping out into God's plan. Perfect. It's a perfect plan for you. That is the living adventure. And I encourage you never to miss that. Amen. Oh, God is so good. The Bible says in Titus 2:14, it says, Jesus who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for himself his own special people. Here it comes. Zealous, boiling over, on fire, zealous for good works. We are the body of Christ. We're to be about doing the Lord's business until he comes. Amen? Just think of all the good works that we've done through the years that you've done. Let's just take last year. Look at Candy Cane Lane. Oh my gosh. You know, look at the tent ministry that's going on right now, people getting saved. You know, look at the work in Mexico. These are good works. Listen. And I say, oh, Lord, man, that's what it means to be alive. You know what an unbeliever does? If you don't know the Lord, listen to me for a moment. I love you. I'm not beating on you, but listen to me. If you've never asked Christ to be your Lord, listen. People that are outside of Christ, the unbeliever, they walk according to the course of the world. Whatever the world says, you don't know that, but you do. But a believer walks according to the plans of God that he established in eternity, those good works. He carries out the mission of God. Man, what good works are we have tomorrow, today? Or, do you understand? We don't know what God's going to call us to do tomorrow, this church or you personally. Think about that. See, that's why I always say it is an adventure, carrying out the plan of God. Jesus told us, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen, what makes our light shine? Good works. What do our good works do? They glorify God in heaven. The Bible says that we can be fruitful in every good work. You know why? Because over in Timothy it says, because we have been thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have God's word. If you don't know Christ, listen to me now. I used to be like you. I was dead. I didn't know I was dead. I didn't know I was lost. I didn't even believe I needed a Savior. Matter of fact, in my truth of my heart, I said to myself, if there was a God, I was mad at God for letting me grow up the way I had to grow up. I said, if there really was a God, why would he do that? Listen, I was dead. But then he made me alive. And I don't care about the past anymore. I only care about walking with our Lord. See, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never confessed Christ, Jesus be my Lord. If you've never believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're not saved. But you can be right now. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, hey, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word, you've been hearing it. He who believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. You'll not come into the judgment, meaning you'll never be judged for your sins in heaven. You'll never stand at the great white throne of judgment. He says, you'll not come into judgment, but now you've passed out of death, Adam's death, over into life, into Christ's life. You can do that right now as every head is bowed and every eye is closed and every Christian praying. If you've never asked Christ Jesus, the Lord, who loves you, who died for you, who took your place, who doesn't want you to go to hell, who wants you to be in heaven with him forever, if you have never said, Jesus, be my Lord, save me, you can right now. It doesn't mean that you're joining Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapel can't save you, but Jesus can. You say, Bill, how do I do that? You lift your hand right where you're sitting. You don't have to come down here. The altar can't save you, but your heart can. And just lift your hand high and put it right back down. I'm going to pray for you. If that's you, quickly. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. That's right. Praise the Lord. Who's next? Come on. Don't fight. Come home. Come home and get clean. Come home right now. Anyone else, just lift your hand, put it right back down. Those who lifted your hands, listen carefully. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Church, help me out. Father, I just heard your truth that I'm dead in trespasses and sins, and that I'm in Adam, and in Adam all die, but in Christ all live. I want to be taken out of Adam. I want to be in you, Jesus. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Father, you promised, and you cannot lie. If I would confess with my mouth, if I would believe in my heart for Jesus to be my Lord, you would save me. I believe. In Jesus' name, I am saved. Amen and amen.
What an encouraging word today. A reminder of just how much God loves us. Doesn't get any better than that, amen? Thanks, as always, for listening to the broadcast. My name is Brian Whitaker. Enjoy the rest of your day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.